This is Daf HaShavuot, Ksuvos Daf Chav Zayin. This is shir number 3 for Daf Chav Zayin. We're on Chav Zayin and the Beis at the two dots, about 12, 13 lines down, quoting from the Mishnah of Yafilu, Im Yesh Edim, Vafilu Eved, Afilu Shivcha Ne'amanim. If these women who are, we have the cities has besieged, if there are Edim, even an Eved, even a Shivcha, who can say that they were not violated, then they're mutter to their husbands. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says like this, V'afilu shivcha dida mehemna. So that sounds like it says afilu shivcha, so there's no exception. Sounds like any shivcha. Sounds like even the woman's own shivcha would be believed to testify about her mistress that she was not violated. Urmini, so I'll show you that's not so simple. Why? Because here we have a Mishnah in Gittin, and the Mishnah is dealing with the following case. It's a case of a get yashan. So let's take a look at Rashi, Lotis Yachet Imo, the second line down. So now we're on the third line. Rashi tells us what the case is. Then we'll go back to the court, the Urimini. Masech is Gidni. You have a Shrivimera, Shekasav, Masar Gelishto. You have a man, and he is on his deathbed. So he wants to make sure that his wife doesn't, is not subject to, Chalitza. So he wants her to be divorced in advance. Umasar Gelishto. Almanashim may say, hey, get Lamafreya. So it should be Mafreya a moment before he dies, so that the divorce was tizarkek lachalitza. So the halacha is at that point lotis yached imo. Then from that point on, that he writes the get, they're not allowed to have yichud anymore. Shema yavo aleha vahavile get yashan, because we're afraid what's going to happen. Maybe they will have bia with one another, and then it will have the status of a get yashan. Utnan beisil ostrin lift over get yashan. Beisil says you're not allowed to give a woman a get yashan. Vezu get yashan kolshen is yached ima me'acha sheksovala. A get yashan is what is a get where yichud had taken place after it was written. V'tayma gzeira shema yomu gita kodim livna. The concern is that we're afraid if you have a get yashan, so we're afraid that there may be information that what's an old get, what's going to happen. So they're afraid what's going to happen if a child's going to be born from there after they had yichud, and they had yichud when after the get was written. So after many years later, people will see the get has a date, and that get predates the child being conceived. So they're not going to remember there was time between the writing of the get and the giving it to the woman. They'll assume that the child was conceived after they had been divorced, when they had not been married. So this way, people would not speak about the child in such a way. They said a get yashan should not be used. So that is the gzeira shema yomu gito kodim levinah. So that's a get yashan. So says the Mishnah the following: lotis yached imo ela al pi edim. So they not allowed to have yichud after he wrote the get, because then it would become a get yashan, and according to Beis Hillel can't use the get yashan. But let's say they had yichud and there were edim who could testify that they didn't that nothing happened between them. So that's okay. Then we would not consider that a get yashan, the get that was written, and even though there were, before it was given, there was yichud in between. V'afilu al pi eved, v'al pi shivcha. And guess what? You know who can testify that nothing happened during this yichud period between the husband who wrote a get to his wife, husband who's shriv me, I wrote a get to his wife, and even eved, even a shivcha. Chutz mi shivcha sa, except, you know, it's not believed, the woman's shivcha, mimenei she libo gaspe shivcha sa. She's so comfortable with her. Rashi says, shelibo gaspe shivcha sa, about 7-8 lines down, 10 lines, v'teshamish b'fanea, she'll have tashmish in front of her. She doesn't have a problem with that. So what do you see? You see that we can't, that if she's she's obviously not afraid to have beer in front of her shivcha, because that woman is going to be loyal to her and is not going to tell, is not going to share this information with anybody else. So that means she can't be trusted. So if her own shivcha can't be trusted, so why is she believed to testify in our case? So that's the steer the Gemara points to. Sounds like her shivcha is not believed in the case of yichud, of a get yashan, and yet in our Mishnah, it sounds like, it says afilu shivcha categorically, ul shvaska shvachos are acceptable, even harsh shivcha itself. So, so we have several answers to this question. Amar Rav Papi, the first answer, b'shvuya hikilu. Our case is a case of shvuya. Case of shvuya, we're generally lenient, and therefore the same thing here. We allow the testimony of a woman's own shivcha. Rav Papa Amar, oh no, difference. Ha b'shivcha dida, ha b'shivcha didei. Here's the difference. The difference is, whose shivcha are we talking about? He says, the other Mishnah is talking about the wife's shivcha. And yeah, you're right. She's going to be loyal to her. She's not going to share any information that she had beer with someone. And she's not believed. And she cannot testify for her. But ha b'shivcha didei, but our Mishnah is dealing with where it is the husband's shivcha. And the husband's shivcha is believed to testify that that this shifcha's, the wife of her master, was not violated by anybody. That is, you know who's not believed? The woman's own shifcha. But the husband's shifcha is believed. That's the difference. So Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Shifcha dida lo mehemna. You're telling me that that only shifcha didei, only his slave, only his shifcha, but not her shifcha? What do you mean? Hakatani ein adam meid al atzmo. But our Mishnah says, remember, it says, Mishnah says, a person is ein neman adam al idei atzmo, is the language in the Mishnah. You're not believed to testify on your own behalf. So what does that imply? Hashifcha didei mehemna. That implies anybody else. If it's not you, as long as it's someone else, even a shifcha and even her shifcha would be believed. So the Gemara says, no, when the Mishnah says, ain't other maid, or ain't nem on adam al day atzmo, you know what's included in atzmo? Shifcha sanami, katzma dami. Her shifcha is so much like her, because she's so loyal to her, to the mistress, therefore, her testifying, the shifcha testifying, is like the woman testifying herself. So far we have two answers to the question. How do we reconcile this contradiction between our Mishnah that says, that seems to imply that a woman's shifcha is believed to testify, and in the case of the Get Yashin, where a woman's shifcha is not believed. So either we're more makil by our case, because it's a case of shvuya, as we generally are, or the fact that our case, the difference between the different type of shvachos, that if it's the case of the shvuya, is the case of shifcha didei, is the husband shifcha who's testifying that the woman, that the husband's wife was not violated. And over there by the Get Yashan, it's the mistress's shifcha herself. Okay, so now the Gemara has another possibility, third possibility. Rav Ashi Amar Hava Hava Shifcha Dida. No, both cases are talking about her own shifcha. Aye, so how do we understand why her shifcha is not believed in the case of Get Yashan, but is believed in the case of Shvuya? The shifcha mechza chazya v'shaska. But hasam deshikasa matirasa lo mehemna. Hacha deshikasa usarta mehemna. What's the difference? Is that a shifcha, we assume that she is mechza chazya v'shaska. She's going to see what she sees. And then she's going to be quiet. She's going to be silent. She's not going, so she won't testify. She won't lie, outright lie. She's not going to do. But to be silent and not say anything, that she is willing to do. So when it came to the case of the Get Yashan, where, what does the woman have to do? She just has to be quiet. She has to, so therefore we don't trust her, because we're afraid she's going to hold back information that really she should say, hey, there was beer going on. No, she's going to be quiet. Being quiet doesn't mean that nothing happened. Being quiet means that she's going to be quiet and not share information. But over here, what's she doing? If she would be silent, the her shisikasa osarta, so therefore mehemna, meaning the her being silent, well, the woman would be usher. She has to testify the woman wasn't violated. That much we believe her to testify, because she's not going to outright testify and outright lie. So if you take a look at Rashi, he says like this, hacham. About 20 lines into the thin lines. Hacha gabe shvuya deshizikasash deshifcha osarta legevirta. By being quiet, she's going to be usher. The chokama she'ena mi'ida lomar tahorahi machzikinu labetameya. Koki misada va amra tahorehi mehemna dilishikure lav archa orcha ela le mishtak. So to lie outright she won't do, but to be silent and not share information that maybe she should, so that that maybe we have to be concerned with. So the Gemara says, hold on, hashtanami Asu Mishakra, why do you assume that she's not going to lie? Take a look at Rashi. Hashtanami Kevan. The Bach takes out the next four words. Kevan Didach Lamina. She's afraid of her, afraid of the mistress. Asu Mishakra of Amatori. She's going to come and lie and say, sister, why do you assume that she wasn't, that her loyalty will not bring her to even testify falsely for on her behalf? So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Tartalo of the two things wrong she's not going to do. What are the two things wrong she's not going to do? So look at Rashi. Tarta lo avda, halfway down in the lines of Rashi. Chada le mishtak bekugula. One is to say, to be silent that anything happened. Vo de tesi mishaker. And then to come along and lie that nothing happened. It's one thing to be silent and not say she, not mention anything about her being violated. And number two, to come along and say she wasn't violated. Two things wrong she's not going to do. The Gemara is going to prove that tarti lo avda, we see this in another case as well. Like what case? Kiha demari bar Isak, v'ami lachana bar Isak. There was a case, guy's name was Mari bar Isak, some say it was Chana bar Isak, and what happened in this case? So this Mari bar Isak, or Chana bar Isak, was a very strong guy, people very powerful, people were afraid of him. What happened was, he had a brother, long lost brother, hadn't seen him in a long time, they'd been separated for a while, and his brother came from Beit Hoza. What had happened during that time? The father passed away. Look at Rashi in the middle there. So the father went with this brother, with Murray's brother, and so the brother comes back and now wants a chelek with Murray, to share with Murray, his brother, in the chelek of the father. So Amalei, so what did the brother say to Murray? Plogli v'nechse avda. So, no, give me a part of the share of the Yerusha. I don't know who you are. I don't know. I don't recognize you. Also, the commander of Chizda, so came in front of Chizda and said, listen, Mari is not giving me the money. Amalei, Shapi Karmalach. Now, Mari has every right to say that to you, because Tichsid, Vayakar Yosef Esachov, Heim Loi Kiruhu. We know from Rashi quoting this, Sechazah, Balamit, Chiyotza, Balo Chasim Azakan, Uvalcha Bachasim Azakan. You know why they didn't recognize Yosef? Because Yosef left. He was only 17. He didn't have a beard. And they come back now, he has a beard. So they recognize him. The brothers, though, who were older, had a beard before. So he recognized them. So you, your brother, so this is what he tells this guy. Listen, you know what? Murray has every right to say he doesn't recognize you. You left him when you were younger, a child. Now you have a beard. How are you supposed to know who you are? So I'm L.A. So since there is some interesting discussion, let's say, let's assume that, let's say he had left with the Zakan. So now the simple reading of the Gemara would be that Murray couldn't say, I don't know who you are. Some discussion about that. But anyway, Omar Lay, so Rav Chisda says to the brother, Zil Aisi Sadi Dachuat. So, okay. So guess what? Now, since he has every right to say he doesn't recognize you, it's your responsibility to bring Aiden that you're indeed his brother. Amalei, Isli Sadi, Banu Mustafina, Mine, De Gavra, Alamahi. He's a powerful guy, of Aiden, but they're afraid of him. He's a very strong guy, this Murray, my brother, and they don't want to come and testify because they, who know what Murray's going to do to them when they testify that I'm his brother and now he has to share the Yerusha with me. So Amalei, they're not going to testify. Amalei, lididei aha. So if Chisda says to Mari, if that's the case, that this guy, your brother or potential brother, has Edim, but he's just afraid to bring them because he's afraid of you, zilai sinu at delavachochu. You bring delavachochu. You bring Edim that he's not your brother. And if not, then you're going to have to share the Yerusha with him. So Murray says to Rav Chisda, that's not the halacha. I have to bring witnesses. How much of the burden of proof is on my brother? So Amalei, he said, that may be true in regular cases, but that's the way I deal with you, or I judge you, and all of your friends who are so powerful and intimidate other people. That's what we're going to do. Okay, so now, that's right. We're not up to our raya yet. The Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Hashtanami. Well, hold on. Is the one required to bring Aiden that this guy is not his brother. Hashtanami Asim Shakri. Maybe they're going to lie. Why? Because they're afraid of Murray, and they may say and come and lie and say that the person is not his brother when indeed he is. Says the Gemara, Tarti lo avdi. Now, if Chissa says no, doing two things wrong because you're afraid is not going to happen. To A, be silent in this circumstance, and number two, to testify falsely, that much a person is not going to do. So the same thing over here by the woman. We assume that she, when the case of the Get Yashan versus the case of the Shvuya, case of the Get Yashan, she just had to be silent. So therefore, we're afraid we don't believe her Shifcha. But over here, you know what they would have to do? They would have to, A, be silent, that the woman not say anything about her being violated, even though they knew it happened. And number two, to testify falsely that she was not violated, that much we don't think they're going to do. They're not going to lie about that. And if they testify she wasn't violated, we're going to believe them. And that's why, according to Rav Ashi, which is the last opinion, the last explanation to reconcile the stira, that's why we will believe them to testify that the shifcha itself of this mistress herself, that she will be believed to testify that she wasn't violated. So says the Gemara, Lema Katanoi. So let's assume that this machlokes amoroyim is already argued by Tanoi. How do we see? Zu'edus. So look at this brisa. Zu'edus. What type of edus do we allow a woman who was taken captive, that we allow it to return to her husband? So I'll tell you who can testify that the woman was not violated. Ish v'isha, tinok v'tinokes, aviha v'ima, even the woman's father or mother, v'achi v'achosa, brother or sister, avalo b'no b'ta, alo avda v'shivchasa. So there you have it. Evidence shivcha are no good. V'tanya idach, hakol ne'eman in lahoy, her shivcha is no good. Her Evan and her shivcha are no good. V'tanya idach, hakol ne'eman, another bride, hakol ne'eman in lahoyid, chutz mei, heimenu bala, she and her husband cannot testify. All right, what do you see? The brises are astira. So, lema katanai. Let's suggest the first brisa is the one that claims what? That her shifcha is no good. And the second brisa only excludes her and her baal. So her shifcha must be good. So therefore, that's how we, the two brises, it must be that that's the machlokas, whether her shifcha is good or not. So how do these amoroim line up with these brises? Derav Papi, Derav Ashi, Tanoihi. Rav Papi and Rav Ashi would say that indeed it's a machlokas tanam. So let's remind ourselves of those two answers. Rav Papi was the first answer. Rav Ashi was the third answer. Rav Papi said, oh, well, yeah, it's a good stira between Get Yashan and our Gemara here. Get Yashan sounds like Har Shifcha is not believed, and our Gemara says Shifcha is believed. Well, we'll make it Bashvuya. And Rav Ashi, who said what? Rav Ashi said the difference is between what? No, they're both Shifcha. The difference is, you know, whether you're being silent or you're testifying outright. So the Gemara says, Derav Papi, Derav Ashi, Tanoi. Those two opinions would obviously say that this is a machlokas tanoim. Why? Because they allow the woman's shifcha to testify, and therefore the first brisa doesn't make sense. They allow, they said we're talking about her shifcha, no doubt. So, and they would say it's okay. They clearly would have to side with the second brisa, and the first brisa is against them. The Rav Papa, though, you don't have to say that he sides with one brisa over the other. Mi lema tanoi. Should I assume that this is a machlokes tanoim? Maybe there's a way that he can reconcile both of the two brises. How so? Amalech Rav Papa. Kitanya Ai, I'll tell you why. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. This is very interesting, because Rashi here, as we'll read in a moment, is going to give you at least what we think as a Hava Amina would be the way Rav Papa could reconcile the two. But the Gemara gives another answer, and the Mefarshim have different ways to explain why the Gemara doesn't give the answer that Rashi assumes the Gemara would have given. Look at Rashi, Mi Lema Tanoihi. Rashi is about 15 or so lines from the bottom of the page. Mile midrav papa dama lo mehemno ki mile matanoi klomar. Dachu kulomar anada amri ki masnisa kamaisa. Dachuk to say, I hold like the first brisa. Oh, you chale taretz masniso brisa nami kavase lemeimar. He could say, guess what? That I fit in to both brisas. The first brisa says, her shifcha is no good. The second brisa says, the shifcha is good. Now, Rav Papa was the one who said, shifcha dida, shifcha dide. That was Rav Papa's distinction. And shifcha dida is never good. So it sounds like he fits into the first brisa. So how would you explain the second brisa that implies that a shifcha, that har shifcha is no good? Har shifcha is good because it only excludes har. So the answer is, says Rashi, no problem. L'neimar shifcha sakats madami. V'hari b'chlal chutz mehe mena diktani ba. Oh, Teiru Tachin, and maybe you have another answer. But the point is that what does the second brisa say? She, who's not believed, her husband, and her, and the woman herself. Makes no mention about the shifcha. That doesn't mean the shifcha is believed. You know who's included in Heimena, in herself? The shifcha, as we had mentioned earlier. It's like Atzma. So maybe both brises can be reconciled according to Rav Papa. Either way, the Gemara gives another way to reconcile, and the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Papa, Kitanya Hahi. Rav Papa gives the answer on the first wide line at the end of the line. Amar Rav Papa, Kitanya Hahi, the Mesicha Lefi Tuma. Now I can explain. I'll give a different answer, but I don't have to say there's a steer here as well at all. I can tell you like this: the second brisa that says that implies that her shifcha is good. Even though Rav Papa says Har Shifcha is no good, and that is the first brisa, the second brisa that implies Har Shifcha is good is because she's doing it ad mesiach lefi tuma. She's speaking innocently, casually, without not knowing that there's any consequences legally from what she's saying. So then, if those are the circumstances, we believe a woman, even her own Shifcha, and we bring a riot to this. Ki ha, d'chias Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Chanan, kartigna mishtoi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So he said, you know, that Rav Chanan from Kartigna was talking and mentioned that there was a Maiseh Balefnei Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. V'amilah, some say he had said Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishtoi was talking and it was a Maiseh Balefnei Rebbe came in front of Rebbe. I'm not sure exactly who the players are, but the bottom line is this is the case. He's just speaking casually. V'amilah, he said, by the way, Ani v'imi nishbeinu levei ovdei kochavim. So we were taken, I and my mother were taken captive by the Ovdei Kochavim, by the non-Jews, Yatzasu Lishov Mayim, but when I went out to draw water, Dati Alime, his mind was thinking about my mother the whole time that nothing should happen. Lakeid Eitzim, to gather wood, Dati Alimi. I'm sure nothing, she was never violated. He see a Rebbe Lekuhuna, Alpiv, and Rebbe allowed the person to marry the woman, to marry a Kohen, based on this person's words. Now, what do you see from there? Even though this person should not be believed in such a case, the person is believed based on this, based on the fact that this was Mesiach Lefi Tumo. So therefore the same thing. When the brisa says that a woman's shifcha is believed, which is the second brisa, Rav Papa can say, I'll tell you that was Mesiach Lefi Tumo. And the other brisa that says our shifcha can't be, that's the regular word, that's the regular testimony, that's where it's not Mesiach Lefi Tumo.